FDR's funeral train, the April 1945 journey of President Franklin D. Roosevelt's funeral train, became a thousand-mile odyssey fraught with heartbreak and scandal, with shady deals and the shadier men behind them as it slipped through the night, making its way from Warm Springs, Georgia to Hyde Park. FDR's funeral train. We spoke with the author, Robert Clara. He is our in-studio guest. And let's talk a little bit more about this great new book. Welcome again.
Thank you.
We were talking a little bit before, while the news was on, I believe, thinking about all the people that were aboard this train, just about everyone, the who's who in government.
Yeah, it was something that had never happened before, and it has never happened since. The loss of FDR was so profound, not only as an emotional event for the country, but simply as a civic event in Washington, that even men who had derided FDR publicly during his life suddenly clamored for a spot aboard his funeral train. And so by the time the train left Washington, because it paused for a day for a service in the East Room in the White House, when it left again on its way to Hyde Park, it contained, the count is difficult to peg exactly because the Secret Service documents are a little foggy on it, but 140 of the most important men and women in the government. And we're talking, imagine a train that contains a dead president, a live one, the cabinet, the entire Supreme Court, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, leaders of both the House and Senate, the entire diplomatic corps, and just about anybody else of consequence in Washington, all packed aboard 18 Pullman cars, traveling along a route that was publicized in the newspapers and witnessed by tens of thousands of people. Later on, when Margaret Truman wrote her memoirs, she herself said that it was a foolhardy thing to have done, because if anything had happened to the train, it's very possible that the United States' ability to win World War II would have been compromised.
Right, and this was wartime.
It absolutely was. It absolutely was, which was no small part of why the security protection on the train was unparalleled. The Army posted sentries along the entire route, both sides of the tracks, tens of thousands of men, if you can imagine such an undertaking. And in New York, it was not unusual where the train stopped in the Bronx for a brief layover to see soldiers pacing the streets with machine guns.
You allude to a betrayed widow, for starters.
Yes, indeed. Well, a lot has been written about that, but FDR had a dalliance around World War I with a woman named Lucy Rutherford. And when the betrayal was discovered, to save his marriage and his political career, FDR had promised Eleanor that he would not see Lucy again. As it turned out, however, Lucy was in the cabin at Warm Springs with FDR when he died. The circumstances are still difficult to nail down entirely, but it seems pretty clear from my research that Eleanor knew what had happened prior to the time that she went down to Warm Springs, and certainly she found out more about it while she rode the funeral train itself. And so it's very difficult to imagine the weight on her shoulders while having to maintain a public face that approximated dignity while realizing that the woman who had destroyed her marriage decades before was with her husband when he died. And it was on this train that she had to deal with that pretty much by herself.
And I think in reading the materials that I was provided, there was even some rumor that it wasn't FDR actually in the
yeah,
casket.
Yeah, that was probably the most amazing thing that I found is there were rumors surrounding FDR's death. That anytime someone famous dies, we saw this with Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's space aliens
Elvis
came
and,
down
yeah,
and took
right,
him, you know.
Yeah.
But yes, tens of thousands of Americans believed that the body in FDR's coffin was very possibly not FDR's. And the reason for that was quite simply that no autopsy was performed, and FDR's coffin lid would remain closed to all but members of the immediate family. And so there was no public wake, which Americans were used to at the time, right, and to some degree still are. And so you had this mysterious cabin in the woods, a Russian woman painting him, And suddenly there's a coffin with a flag draped over it that everyone's saying the president is inside. Of course, you know, the conspiracy theorists leapt right in.
Had a field day.
Yes, yeah. And one of them, in fact, claimed that that the fake body was routed through a funeral home in East Fishkill, New York, but I won't say anything more about that.
As far as the Soviet spy, where is that?
The Soviet spy was somebody who popped up on the passenger roster that I was able to get from the through a Freedom of Information requests with the Secret Service. And he was an economist who worked in the West Wing. His name was Lachlan Curry. The disappointing thing for me is he didn't seem to enact any misdeeds aboard the funeral train itself. So no 007 stuff, unfortunately. But he was quite clearly a Soviet operative, and he did have a berth aboard the funeral train. What at the time that he wrote it, nobody knew, of course, of his dealings. Later on, it would emerge that some of his activities had in fact deposited papers right in Stalin's hands in the Kremlin concerning America's willingness to surrender Poland to the Soviets after the war. So in fact, the roots of the Cold War started forming on the funeral train largely because of the spy.
An amazing odyssey. And again, the book is called FDR's Funeral Train, a Betrayed Widow, Soviet Spy, and a Presidency in the Balance. Robert Clara has been our guest this morning on Good Morning Hudson Valley, and I assume you have the book right on the table there, I assume it's
I do right here.
Out and about. And
for anybody who's interested in hearing more about it, I will be speaking at the FDR Library in Hyde Park on April 15th and talking about the book and my research, and if it interests you, please come out. I'd be happy to see you.
It has been a real pleasure having you as a guest. This is fascinating
stuff. Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it.
And I want to thank all our guests this morning on Good Morning Hudson Valley. I'm Bruce Owens. Hope you have a great weekend. I want to thank Jay Verzi, the producer of Good Morning Hudson Valley. Puts the show together for us each day. Keeps us on the right track. And also, thank you to our advertisers who keep Good Morning Hudson Valley on the radio.